started back January 1st. I'm going to tell his mom. I can't wait to tell his mom. He always calls me Kathy when I ride in the shotgun when anybody's driving, I guess. All right, open your Bibles tonight to 1 Chronicles, and we will. Did you find him, Danny? Go right ahead. Wait till Kathy hears about this. 1 Chronicles. We are, last week we introduced, Wednesday actually, I believe it was, 1 Chronicles chapter 4. We introduced a passage of scripture that, in my honest opinion, it's one of the greatest prayers in all the Word of God. And 1 Chronicles, as you will see, has a ton of names, and they're hard names sometimes to pronounce, and perhaps as many as 500 names. But when you come into chapter 4, you come into this chapter 4, you start with name after name after name, and about 40 names in, it mentions the character that we introduced to you Wednesday night by the name of Jabez. And the Bible says here in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, and what we're going to do for the next few Sunday nights, we're going to take the month of January and look at this, and we're going to look at his prayer, and we're going to really kind of dig into it. Our intention, as we've been for quite a while now, was to really focus on our teenagers and our college-age kids and really hopefully give them some things that they can stand on. But as you see in this, and as you'll see in these coming weeks, yes, these are applicable to the teenagers and college kids, and it will change your life. I really sincerely mean that. It will change your life if you kind of get a hold of what his prayer request really was. But it not only will change the life of our teens and our young people and our college kids, and it'll change your life as well, and I'm really convinced of that. When you come to 1 Chronicles chapter 4 and verse 9 and 10, please stand in honor and reverence to the reading of the Word of God. We're again, chapter 4, the genealogy of Judah, and a lot of names. But when you come to chapter 4, verse 9, the Bible says, "And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez." Of course, we talked about that Wednesday night. His name meant pain. His name meant sorrow. His mother named him. We don't know why, but there's some speculation as to why he was named Jabez, but as far as why his mother would do that. She says, "Because I bear him with sorrow." Verse 10, and this is where we're going to focus in and actually talk about the first part of his prayer tonight. He says, "And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed." And we're going to focus in on that today. "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." The word grieve means pain. I found that interesting. Saw that the other night when I was preaching through that. Here was a man, a man that grew up with the name Pain, the name Sorrow. And yet he said, "God, please keep me from evil, that it doesn't pain me." And I thought that was interesting. But here's what's phenomenal. Verse 10, the Bible says, "And God granted him that which he requested." He prays for four things. He asked God to bless him, as we're going to look at tonight. He asked God to enlarge his coast or his territory. He asked God that God's hand would be with him. And he asked God that God would keep him from evil. That is a tremendous prayer. That is a phenomenal prayer. And to be quite honest, I'm not so certain that that shouldn't be a prayer that we adopt even in our life, maybe. That we were not a prayer that becomes just a repetitious, just vain words. No, sincerely, heartfelt, heart desire, genuinely, God-seeking, Christ-honoring prayer. So let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for this night. We thank you, God, again, for the privilege we have of being able to preach your word again. We love you, Lord, and we do ask that you'll help us to love you more. We thank you for this short little prayer, God, in this book of many, many names. But Father, we thank you for this golden nugget of truth. And Lord, we just ask God that you'll help us tonight. And I pray, Lord, that it wouldn't just be another normal Sunday night, but I pray, God, most importantly, that what is done in this room for the next few minutes will bring glory and honor to you. I pray to challenge the hearts of your people. And God, we do pray that someone doesn't know you as Savior, whether here or watching the internet. We pray, God, that tonight would be the night that they repent and call upon you in salvation. Father, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Jabez is simply saying, and what we're going to talk about tonight is just simply, he says to God, "God, I want you to bless me." What a tremendous prayer. And when you look at this portion of Scripture, and we're going to bounce around a lot of different passages tonight to kind of bring some clarity to what he is asking for. Because if we're not careful, we can look at those words and we may think, well, you know, that's just simple. He's just, you know, just praying a prayer. No, this is a big deal. This is a very serious prayer that he's praying. And for Jabez to ask God in the very first thing, he simply says there, he said, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed." Now, interestingly enough, as I was studying this out, when he didn't just ask for God to bless him, he asked that God would bless him indeed. I read one writer said that by adding the word indeed to the Hebrew mind, it was like adding 5 exclamation points to his request. It'd be like, you know, we have Leslie's grandfather. I think he's near 90, and he's on Facebook. And occasionally he will put something on Facebook, or he'll message us on Facebook. And he put something on my wall one day, and it was in all capital letters. And one of the girls, one of Judy's sisters, of course that's her dad, and she said, "Dad, why are you yelling at Tracy?" Because he had all these capital letters. And for Jabez to pray, and he used the word indeed, it's almost like in capital letters, "God, I want you to bless me. I'm asking you, God, exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point, and 2 more. God, I want you to bless my life." But as you look at this, and number one, if you want to take notes, and this is about as far as we'll get tonight. We're going to take a couple of Sunday nights and look at this part of the blessing that he's asking God to give his life. So number one, notice the blessing defined. And what we're going to do, we're going to look at several portions of Scripture, because interestingly enough, when you look in the Bible, the concept of the blessing and wanting the blessing of a father, that was a big deal. And it was a big deal, especially to the Jewish people. So I want you to we'll just go on a quick Bible study tonight. Turn back to Genesis chapter 9 for a moment. And we're just going to kind of look at some of the different characters in Scripture where the Bible talks about, you know, God's blessing, or we see illustrated in the life of some of the patriarchs from old, you know, and how they would bless their children. And so you come to Genesis chapter 9 and verse 1. Genesis 9 verse 1 says, "And God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth." But again, it says right there, God blessed Noah and his sons. You come now, look at chapter 22 of Genesis. We're going to stay in Genesis for a little while. In chapter 22 of Genesis, in verse 17, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking here, and he's talking to Abraham. We've talked about Abraham before, where we read Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, where it says, "The Lord had said," you don't have to turn there, "and the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, curse them that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." Of course, we know that it was through Abraham's seed, if you will, that the Lord Jesus Christ came. So it's a big deal. And of course, we talked about the other night, just briefly, the importance of staying an ally to Israel, and just, you know, so many different concepts in there. But in Genesis 22 in verse 16, it says, "And said, by myself have I sworn, said the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son." And verse 17 says, "That in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed." Of course, context there, Abraham had taken his son Isaac up on the mount, and he was going to offer him to God, and God supernaturally, you know, spared his son. There was a ram caught in the thicket, and he's getting ready to do it, man. He's getting ready to offer his son, and God takes, you know, Isaac, or Abraham then takes that ram and offers it in the stead or in the place of his son. And now the Lord Jesus speaks into that, verse 17, that in blessing I will bless thee. You come now to Genesis 24. Look at chapter 24. In verse 1, Abraham's now, he's an older gentleman, and the Bible said in chapter 24 of Genesis, verse 1, "And Abram was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things." The blessing, the concept of blessing, God blessing his people is a powerful one. You come now to chapter 25 of Genesis. Look at chapter 25 in verse 11. A lot of verses. Chapter 25. In chapter 25, verse 11, and it came to pass after the death of Abraham that God blessed his son Isaac, and Isaac dwelt by the well Lahori. So you come now, look at Genesis 32. Just keep going. Turn over to Genesis chapter 32. We're going to come back in another passage in just a moment. In verse 29, Genesis 32:29. And Jacob asked him, of course, that being God, the name of the, Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And look at verse 29. And he blessed, that's God, he blessed him, Jacob, there. So all throughout Scripture, you'll find that the concept of blessing, you'll find that the concept of God, you know, of course, blessing his people. Now, what do we deal with? What do we see in it? Well, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Go now to Deuteronomy chapter 30. And we're going to kind of define this concept of blessing. Why? And as you'll see, and I'm hoping not boring you right now because we're setting this up, but as you will see, the concept of blessing is a big deal. It is a huge thought. It is a huge thing in Scripture, in that of a father blessing a son. And as we are, and as we'll develop this in the weeks coming weeks, it was a huge deal in the as far as in the aspect of the future of that person. So when Jabez is asking God to bless him, it's a significant prayer request. You come now to Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 19. And of course, this is a tremendous, tremendous verse. In verse 19 of Deuteronomy 30, the Bible says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both thou and thy seed may live. So the Lord Jesus Christ, his people saying, listen, I've got before you now a blessing and a curse. So we're going to talk about what did he mean? Well, in the context of blessing, from a Hebrew standpoint, there's a lot of different, as I was researching this, there's a lot of different pictures of what it meant to bless and what the word meant in the context of bless. One idea of the word bless carries with it the thought of bowing the knee. And it really is a picture word. It's a picture of a camel who must bend its knee so its master can get on. They also, under this same thought, bowing before someone is a graphic picture of valuing that person. In Bible times, you bowed before someone of great value. In the context of blessing, it also meant that of adding weight to the scale. If you imagine in your mind, the greater the weight, the more value, right? So in this aspect of blessing, when you bless someone, it carries with it the concept of adding value to their life, of adding weight to their life. So here's what Jabez was asking. He said, God, I want you, and that's the title of the message, God, I want you to bless me. And you know, sometimes when you look at that and you ponder that for a moment, there may be some that say, well, isn't that kind of an arrogant prayer? No, friend. Every single one of us should desire God's blessings on our life. Amen? We should want God to bless our life. It's not being arrogant and it's not being selfish. We want God's blessing on our life, and that ought to be our heart's desire before God. In the same verse, in verse 19 of Deuteronomy, he uses the word curse. So God says, I place before you a blessing and a curse. The idea of a curse carried with it a trickle or muddy stream caused by a dam or obstruction upstream. It just simply put, it means to dam up the stream. When you curse someone, you're damming up the stream in the context of a parent and child relationship. And I've seen this, sadly seen this throughout the years, of parents, and they say mean things, and they'll say things to their kids, and it's horrible things. And I know of parents that have done this, and it's horrible that they do. But they'll say things like, you'll never amount to anything. Well, here's what they've just done. They've dammed up the stream in their life. You know, down home, and not just down home, even in Michigan, you'll see streams, and sometimes beavers will move in, and man, they'll cut trees down, and they'll drag them up, and they'll put them in the stream or the river, and literally what it does, it dams it up. And it causes everything above the dam becomes stagnant. Everything below the dam just kind of, you know, life begins to dissipate. And the blessing of that, you know, all that flowing, beautiful flowing stream, it's dammed up now. And therefore, there's no life hardly anymore unless that dam is busted up. And sometimes farmers would use dynamite and stuff, and they would blow that up and rip that out. And why were they doing that? Because they wanted that flow of the river, they wanted to continue. Why? Because there was life in the flow of that. Now, when parents, sadly, when they say things that are a curse to their kids, it dams it up, and we don't want to do that. So Jesus was telling the Lord was telling his people, here you go. Here, I've got it before you, a blessing and a curse. Here, then Jesus says, choose life, right? Choose life that you might live. Make certain that you choose the aspect and the concept of blessing. So, blessing defined. Now, as you dig a little deeper in the concept of the blessing, I want you now to turn to Genesis chapter 27. Turn back to Genesis chapter 27, and we're going to see more of this idea of blessing kind of fleshed out. And again, it's important. It's a big thing that we see it in Scripture, and it's important that we understand that when Jabez was praying that prayer, from a Hebrew's perspective and from a Hebrew mind's perspective, it was more than just, you know, black words on a white piece of paper. It was a significant prayer request. And he wanted God's blessings on his life. We come now to Genesis chapter 27. Of course, you have the story of Jacob and Esau and how Jacob, you know, swindles the birthright out of Esau. And but it's really kind of a picture, though, of the blessing. The Bible says in Genesis 27, verse 1, it came to pass that when Isaac, of course, that's the dad, when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim so that he could not see, he called Esau, his eldest son, and said unto him, my son. And he said unto him, behold, here am I. And he said, behold, now I am old. I know not the day of my death. Now, therefore, take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver and thy bow, and go out to the field and take me some venison. Esau was a hunter. He was a man's man, if you will. He loved to hunt, and he was a bow hunter, right, David? He was a bow hunter, and he was a real man, right, David? We're real men. But I like to scare animals. That's I love to do that. I love to shoot them and let them scare them to death. I don't ever hit them, but there's a lot with heart problems out in the woods right now, I promise you. But anyway, he says, so take your bow and your quiver, go out into the field, verse 3, and take me some venison, and make me savory meat, much as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may, look at this, that my soul, Isaac the dad, says to Esau, that my soul may bless thee before I die. You got to understand the concept of blessing, it wasn't just words. It was part of the blessing, and here's the thought. There's five components of blessing. There's five components, and we're going to see this throughout this passage and other passages. And so it wasn't just words. The Bible says in verse 5, and Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau his son, and Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. And Rebekah spake unto Jacob her son, saying, behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau thy brother, saying, bring me venison, make me savory meat, that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord before my death. So Jacob was a mama's boy. And Rebekah, she was raising a boy in the context of Jacob that she really did some things she shouldn't have done. And the verse 8 says, now therefore, my son, she says, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Go now to the flock and fetch me from thence two good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. And thou shalt bring it to thy father, that he may eat, and that he may bless thee. Look at that. That he may bless thee before his death. Wait a minute. He wanted to bless Esau because Esau was the oldest. And yet now Rebekah has Jacob, who is younger, and she has Jacob. She said, no, here's what we're going to do. We want the blessing. Here it is. We want the blessing to go to you. Look at the rest of it. And Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, verse 11, behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. So Jacob's saying, wait a minute, Mom, I'm not, he's a hairy monster, you know what I mean? Dad's going to know it isn't me. Dad's going to know it isn't Esau when he touches him. Why? Because part of the blessing, as we'll see, was appropriate, meaningful touch. So look what else he says. My father peradventure will feel me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver, and I shall bring a curse upon me. Look at this. I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing. Remember what Jesus said in Deuteronomy? I lay before you a blessing and a curse. And Jacob knew, wait a minute, Mom. He's going to know I'm deceiving. He's going to feel my skin. I have a smooth skin. And his mother said to him, upon me, look at that, verse 13. Look at that, Michael. She says, upon me be thy curse, my son. Only obey my voice and go fetch me them. So we continue on. And he went and fetched and brought them to his mother, and his mother made savory meat such as his father loved. And Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck. And she gave the savory meat and bread, and the bread when she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. And he came unto his father and said, my father, he said, and he said, here am I, who art thou, my son? And Jacob said unto his father, he lies to his dad, I am Esau, thy firstborn. Liar, liar, pants on fire. He wasn't Esau, he was Jacob, and he's going to try to deceive his dad. What was it? Why? Because they understood the significance of the blessing of a father to a son. They understood the significance of that blessing, and they wanted all that they wanted to, he and his mother, they wanted that more than anything. Verse 19, Jacob said to his father, I'm Esau, thy firstborn, I've done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, set and eat of my venison, that my soul may bless me, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac said to his son, how is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? He said, because the Lord thy God brought it to me. Wow, man. That's a big deal, man, to say that. And Isaac said to Jacob, come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. So here's just real quick. There's five elements of the blessing. And the first element of the blessing was meaningful and appropriate touch. Part of the blessing was they would touch that child. They would touch them in a very meaningful way. He goes on, and of course, we see this, and we know what happens. Jacob went near, verse 22, unto Isaac his father, and he felt him and said, the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy as his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. And he said, art thou my very son Esau? And he said, I am. And he said, bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee. And he brought it near to him, and he did eat, and he brought him wine, and he drank. And his father Isaac said unto him, come near now and kiss me, my son. So we see this appropriate, meaningful touch. So here's the thought. Here's the kind of thought we're going to chase just for a couple of minutes. When Jabez is asking God to bless him, and he says, God, I want you to bless me. Here's what Jabez was wanting God to do. This is good. He was wanting God to touch his life. That's what he was wanting. He was wanting God to touch his life. And in the context of the blessing, five elements are crucial to be as significant as far as the blessing, and we see it, and we'll look at it in other portions of Scripture. Part of the blessing was appropriate, meaningful touch. You remember, if you keep in mind, go back in your mind to Deuteronomy where it said the blessing and the curse, and also keep in mind, I pray God uses this, keep in mind the context of what the blessing meant as far as the word pictures that it meant. It was the picture of a camel bending its knees so that his master could get on him. Why would a camel do that? Because that was his master. That was someone that he valued, that camel loved. So he would bow with bended knee to allow his master to get on. To bless also meant to, as far as in that context, it was significant as far as to add weight to the scale, to add value to the person. So when we look at this portion of Scripture and we see this incident, as bad as it was with Jacob and his mother and the deception and all that was involved, yes, that was wrong, but the blessing was something that was very powerful, and the blessing, this is good, the blessing was something that had the power to carry them through their life. So Jabez is saying, Lord, I want you to bless me. God, I want you to bless me indeed. You know, just bold letters, bold print, exclamation point after exclamation point. God, I want your blessing on me. You know, I find that interesting. And again, there was a lot of thoughts as to why Jabez was named sorrow and why Jabez was named pain and why his mother named him, because it was very customary for the dad to name the child. One writer said it was perhaps because the reason the mother named the child was because the dad was either not in the picture or maybe the dad was gone. So here we see Jabez, and let's just imagine, maybe speculate, not trying to distort scripture, but just speculate just for a moment. Here is a young man who has a name that really is a scarlet letter on his life. He has a name. When people hear his name, they hear a name of pain. They hear a name of sorrow. And if you will, because of what his mother had done to him, and she had dammed up the stream in his life. And Jabez says, God, I want you to bless me. Maybe Jabez could say, you know, I didn't come from the right side of the tracks, Lord. I wasn't born with a silver spoon in my mouth, insomuch that my mom, when she laid eyes on me to name me, she had to give me a name that was painful. She had to give me a name because when she looked at me, I represented sorrow to her. Names are, as we say, and we preached not too long ago, the power and the value in a name. Toby and I yesterday, we went hunting, and afterwards we got home, nobody was home, so I said, hey, let's go out to lunch. And so I took him up to Big Boy Restaurant. I promise you, this is a true story. And we ate, we had a lot of fun, we laughed and cut up and all that kind of stuff. And I promise you, and Toby can validate this, we're done, right? So I go to the counter to pay for the meal. I pull out my debit card. It says Tracy Harold right across kind of the middle towards the bottom there. Tracy Harold. And I hand it to the manager lady. We've been going in there for years. And she knew us. And when I hand her the card, I promise you, she looks at the card and says, oh, she says, you got your wife's credit card today. I promise you she does. I said, no. I said, that's my card. I said, that's my name. She goes, really? And then she starts kind of arguing with me. She goes, that's your name? I said, yeah, that's my name. And I promise you, the next thing she says, that's what she says. She goes, I bet you got teased a lot. I thought, where's my church? I've got church members here I know that have put you up to this. And I said to her, I said, I fought my way through grade school, ma'am. Thank you very much. But she saw my name. So when she saw my name, she automatically made assumptions based on that name. So now think with me for a moment. Michael, think about this. When people heard the name Jabez, they automatically made assumptions. They automatically made assumptions because what his name meant. Oh, sorrow. Woo-hoo. Oh, yeah. You know, well, my name's Elimelech. My God is King. What's your name? Pain. Sorrow. Can you imagine being Jabez? Just be personal for a minute. Make it personal. Can you imagine being Jabez and thinking to yourself, will I ever outgrow the stigma that has been placed on me? You know what? I know what I can do about this. I can talk to God about it. And that's exactly what he did, young people. He prayed to the God of Israel, Jehovah God. And there was a lot of false gods around in Jabez's time. But he prayed to the God of Israel. He prayed to Jehovah God. And he said, God, I want you to bless me. And part of that blessing would have been appropriate, meaningful touch. God, I want you to touch my life. And maybe, and again, not trying to distort the text, but just fleshing it out in my own mind. Could it have been because Jabez knew that if God would touch his life, it could take away all the stigma? If God could touch his life, man, this is a thought. It could take away all the pain. If God could touch his life, It could take away how he came about. If God could touch his life, it could. We don't know this for certain, but just speculation, and a lot of writers, they're all over the map on this text. If God, as a heavenly Father that he is, could touch his life, it could take away the hurt of growing up without a dad. God could be his heavenly Father. God could be a father that could lead and guide and direct his life. So he says, Father, I'm praying that you'll bless me. Indeed. Exclamation point. Capital letters. Bold capital letters. Lord Jesus, I'm serious about this. I want your blessing on my life. The Bible says, and we see this again, verse 26. And his father Isaac said unto him, come near now. Come near now. And kiss me, my son. You know, I've had people over the years. I have family. You know, that don't kiss their kids, and they'll say things, well, I don't kiss my kids. Well, I think you should. And kiss them right in front of their friends, especially when they're high school kids. No. Why? Because, think of me for a moment. Part of the blessing was a display of appropriate, meaningful touch. For a father to kiss a child was really a demonstration of saying, hey, I value you. You're special to me. Can you imagine being, and then that was a kiss, right? You didn't have to kiss, but there's other ways of appropriate, meaningful touch. Go to Mark chapter 1. Go to Mark chapter 1. So basically the thought is just simply, God, I want you to touch my life. And what we're going to do in the coming weeks is, if you're a parent here tonight, we're going to show you you say, wow, preacher, there's a lot of biblical, thoughts on the blessing. I mean, is that something we as parents should be doing? Absolutely. Absolutely. We should be blessing our kids. Appropriate, meaningful touch. You know, touching them. Hey, I love you, I deeply care about you. I want to see. And then we're getting ahead as far as with all the five elements of the blessing. But you go to Mark chapter 1, and we see, the value of a touch. Verse 40 says, and there came a leper to him, Christ, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, Mark 1, verse 40, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, look at this, verse 41, put forth his hand and touched him. He touched him. You see, part of the blessing was appropriate, meaningful touch. Now, you got to understand this. Jesus wasn't supposed to do that. He was a leper, man. The law of God forbade him from even getting around people. If people got too near to him, the law of God required he be living in an ostracized society with other lepers, and basically just, stay there till you die. And yet he comes, Jesus shows up, and he kneels before him, and the Bible says that Jesus, this is phenomenal to me. The Bible says that Jesus, he touches him. Think about that for a minute. I mean, my wife absolutely loves for me to hold her hand. She loves that. And to be quite honest, I sometimes struggle with that. But I'm trying to get better at that. Why? Because she loves that. She loves me holding her hand. And she loves that touch. As far as in the context of this, so think of me for a moment. Jesus shows up, this leper, he wants Jesus to do something. He wants Jesus to touch his life. And Jesus says, I'll do more than that. I'll touch you physically. Think about that for a minute. That's a big deal. Maybe here was a man, I don't know how long he lived this way, but here's a man. It's absolutely appropriate to say that perhaps it had been a long time since anybody touched him. Think about that. No hugs, no kisses, no holding of hands. Why? Because of the plague that is destroying his body. And he's hopeless and he's helpless. And he's destined for death. He's destined to just rot away. And Jesus shows up. And he touches him. Part of the blessing as well was, I'm getting ahead just to continue, but I'm staying in. We're finishing up on this meaningful touch, meaningful and appropriate touch. The second part of that was a spoken message. So the second part of the blessing was a spoken message. And we see that also illustrated in Genesis 27 with Isaac, the story there. So verse 41. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and said to him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him and was cleansed. And he straightly charged him and forthwith sent him away. And said to them, see, thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way. He said, why wouldn't Jesus want him to tell people? Because you have to understand, Jesus tells him, go show thyself to the priest. Had that man listened to what Jesus said, he would have went and showed himself to the priest. The priest had the authority to determine whether or not a miracle had happened and whether or not he truly, genuinely was healed. And it was a process. It was a lengthy process to really validate that. And what that would have done, had he listened, what that would have done would have given more credibility, not that Jesus needed it, but it would have given more credibility to who Jesus truly was. That's the significance of why he said, hey, don't tell a bunch of people. You go show yourself to the priest and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. But he went out and began to publish it much. I'll be honest, I can't blame him, right? Can you imagine living as a leper and ultimately you're going to die and all of a sudden somebody shows up, Jesus of Nazareth shows up, and he not only touches your life, he speaks a message into your life. Appropriate touch. A spoken message. Go also, look at Mark chapter 10. I'm going to close with this passage. So, Jabez, Lord, I want you to bless me. Maybe he grew up without a dad. Maybe he did. Maybe he grew up with people making fun of him. Maybe he grew up going to Big Boy and the manager laughing at you. You got to be, Toby laughed. We were walking out, and I love my son. I spoke a meaningful message into Toby's life as we were leaving. I look at Toby and Paul. We're walking out the door, and Toby looks. He starts laughing. I said, I'll punch you right in the throat. And we just laugh going out of there. My boys are crazy. He said, did you punch him in the throat? No, because Mama Bear would have been awful. You don't mess with the Mama Grizzly Bear's babies. Mark chapter 10, verse 13. And they brought young children to him. Him is Jesus. You know the story. You know the scene. Look at this. Keep it in the backdrop of the whole concept of the blessing. Jabez, Lord, I want you to bless me. So they bring young children to Jesus that he should touch them. Part of the blessing was appropriate, meaningful touch. So they're bringing these young kids to Christ really as a they want Jesus to touch their lives. They want Jesus to bless their lives. And the Bible says, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. Wow. And when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased. Let me just say to you, Jesus is serious when it comes to ministering to children. He's serious about it. And I'm grateful as your pastor, y'all are serious as well. And you do, you take it serious when it comes to ministering to young people, children, adolescents. And he said unto them, look at verse 14. Suffer means to allow the little children to come unto me and forbid them not. For of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. But look at verse 16. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. That's a beautiful picture right there. In closing, Jabez was simply saying, Lord, I want you to touch my life. At the latter, at the very end of verse 10, the Bible says God granted him what he requested. God, I want you to touch my life. And God touched his life. If you're here tonight, no matter what your story, no matter how you came into this world, no matter what stigma has been placed on you, let Jesus have the ultimate say. Let Jesus have the ultimate say in your life. And I encourage you to search it out in Scripture. I encourage you to do this. Let Jesus not only let him have the final say in your life, but let him bless your life, because he will. He'll touch your life. He'll touch your life with meaningful, appropriate touch. He'll do that. You say, Pastor, you don't understand. I've been told my whole life. It doesn't matter. Right? It doesn't matter. What matters is what God has to say. You know, it doesn't matter. And there are those that say, yeah, but preacher, you got to understand. I mean, look at the family history. So what? Look at my family history. Listen, friend. You look at my family history. There's branches. We have trees that don't have a lot of branches on them. Right? Cousins marrying cousins. I'm serious about that. You're like, that's gross. It is gross. If you've seen some of my cousins, I'm telling you. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how you've come to this world. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It really doesn't. What matters is, here, you got to get a hold of this, is the fact that Jesus, if you will desire it, and you will desire his will for your life, he'll touch your life. He'll change your life. He'll touch it. And he'll make your life a masterpiece of his mercy and grace. Can I get a witness in this room? He's an amazing Savior. He's an amazing God. And had Jabez continued to just succumb to the labeling and continued to perhaps succumb to the stigma that came with his name and maybe his family, he would have never amounted to what God wanted him to amount to. He rose above it. He rose above all the negativity. He rose above all of the stigma. He rose above all of that. God would do amazing things in his life, in so much that you're reading the book of 1 Chronicles and it's name after name, hard name after hard name after hard name after hard name. And then all of a sudden Jesus says, oh, wait a minute, let me tell you about Jabez. Let me tell you, here it is. Let me tell you about a boy whose life I touched. Could that be said of you? Could the Lord say of you, let me tell you about a girl whose life I touched. Let me tell you about a boy whose life I touched. Because Jesus loves to touch us. He loves to touch those areas where we were maybe ostracized. He loves to touch those areas where we were told maybe you'll never amount to anything. He loves to take that and say, no, let me show you what I can do. Because he's an amazing God. He can do amazing things. Stand with me, please, for hymn invitation. Brother Stephen's going to come and lead us in an invitational song. If you're here tonight, and you don't have Christ your Savior, watching the internet, you don't have Christ your Savior, sweet friend, I encourage you to repent and believe the gospel to the saving of your soul, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, asking God to forgive you, asking God to save you, and he will. maybe are saved, say, "Preacher, I know the Lord is my Savior. To be quite honest, I just have a hard time moving forward in my life because I've never attached to anyone growing up. You know, it was always a bother to a mom, to a dad, to a family." That may be the case, but I encourage you, and I said this to you recently, I encourage you and I urge you and I absolutely beseech you to attach yourself to the Lord Jesus. He can do amazing things in your life. He can take your mess, turn it into a message. He can take those tests and trials and turn them into a testimony that will give him honor and glory. Maybe you'd like to come to this altar and pray and just ask God's blessing. Maybe you'd like to come to this altar and just pray that prayer of Jabez. Lord, I pray that you'll bless me. God, I pray that you'll bless me. I pray, God, that my mom, my dad, or my family, you name it. God, I pray that they don't have the final chapter. They don't have the final say in my life story. God, I want you to have the final story. I want you to have the final say in my life story. What a prayer. What's the number, Stephen?
Hymn number 310.
310, you come.